Speak the name of Jesus. There's no other name more powerful to break stronghold, to break bondages, to break addictions, set the captives free. The name of Jesus. Today, as we continue our fail-proof living teaching together, we left off in Ephesians chapter 4 last week. And I believe we have time to look at a few more verses of Scripture. I know we read them all down through, but now chapter 4, and we were looking at verses 21 through 32. Last week we talked about not being angry to the point that it causes us to sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That's really important because many years ago, someone some of us knew had some harsh words between a husband and a wife. And they went to bed that night, never resolved it, went to bed angry. And the next morning, while coffee was being made in the kitchen, the wife heard a loud thump in the bedroom, and her husband had dropped dead of a heart attack getting out of bed. And the thing that grieved her the most was that they didn't reconcile before they went to bed that night. And that followed her for many years after that. She always spoke of how we all said that, oh, if I had only. Well, don't let that go. Don't go to bed angry. I know that's an exception to the rule of how serious it can be, but they did. And that was the end result. And in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. And we can do that very easily. Sometimes we speak things that are contrary to the word, and it opens the door. Don't not forgive, because that also opens the door. And once the enemy gets in our lives and gains a foothold, sometimes it's not easy to get him off our back, especially if we're holding stuff over a long period of time. We also talked about, let him that stole steal no more, but neither let him labor work, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. And as such a contrast, a person goes from a taker to a giver. Before we're saved, my name's Jimmy and I'll take all you can give me. Now, we learn with the right spirit, as we have a new spirit now, we learn to be givers, to bless others. And it's the Christian life that God is building into us, where it's contrary to a lot of the ways that we lived. And now we have a new value system that's inside of us now. And now we live it out. As we have revelation, as we have understanding, we walk in the measure that we have. But God continues to add. He continues to build into our lives as time goes on. Keep a short list. Don't steal. Be a blessing and give. Verse 28 or 29. I remember this specifically. It was one of the first verses that I memorized as a new believer, because the very father that I badmouthed, I end up growing up being just like him. Funny how life is sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And I thought, of course, of cussing and swearing and throwing hissy fits and just bad mouthing and that kind of behavior. But as a believer, I also learned it means don't make a habit of continuously speaking things that are contrary to God's word, because that's the corrupt speech. The word of God is the purest of word. And learning to speak biblical principles and even scripture at times, which is a really good thing to do. So as I grew, this was one of the early scriptures that I memorized, because I think because it pertained to me. You may have some scriptures that God spoke into your spirit in the beginning that really ministered to you because it addressed an issue in your lives, because he speaks to all of us. It's not always the same word, but it says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, speaking words that encourage others, that lift them up, have a positive attitude, and it'll come out your mouth. And this came out in our teaching on words one time, actually several times, about learning to speak to lift each other up instead of tear each other down. The world is very good at that. But God has given us a life that is a far, far, far greater quality of life. And we have now within us, in the indwelling Holy Spirit, to speak words of encouragement to each other, to speak words of hope, healing, deliverance, forgiveness. Words that really minister to people when they hear those words that you speak. That it may minister grace. One thing, I have enough years of track record now that one thing I've been charged with, I can only think of about 10, but one, 10, but one in particular was, I show grace too much. I'm not a hard ass. I show grace. I let things go. I let things slide. Because I came to realize I'm not Holy Ghost Junior. Such a revelation. I tend to let the Holy Spirit do what he came to do. He will teach you. He will teach all of you. But you have to have a willing heart to let him. See, we don't need to spend a lot of time on each one of these and get to the point where it sounds like a beat-up message. No, it isn't. Paul is saying Christ died to give you a whole new life, and follow these guidelines. Because now we can. Before we couldn't. But now we can. And this is what I think one of the nicest compliments I ever got. It was a real estate lady in Springfield. When Faith and I first moved back from Florida and we started our painting company, and this lady hired me to do some work for her, and we ended up just sitting there talking about Jesus. I went there to look at the job, and she said, I can tell you've been with Jesus. And I think that was a very high compliment, because we were saved maybe a couple of years by then. But we learned the importance of getting this word down on the inside of us, so that when we speak, it's going to come out. And that's not a normal conversation. Excuse me. And we worked on other jobs together. And it wasn't normal in that trade to just speak the word all the time. But when we did, it rattled a few people. But you know, when you get so much in you, it's going to come out. And we learn to temper it, if you will, or speak a word in season. We can be so eager in the beginning that we run people away from us because we frighten them, especially people I knew. Got rid of the bags of dope and they never wanted to come around us. We didn't have to worry about separating ourselves from non-believers. Golly. But speaking words that minister grace. Some things, it's just best to leave them alone. Don't push the envelope, because then you can get into provoking somebody. And generally what happens is they get angry and they shut down and you can't reach them. It's better to get to know people and then speak freely from our hearts. But we were just brand new saved, and that radical Southern gospel approach just beat people up. And they don't respond. Anyway, moving along. Oh, and it says, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word malice is a legal word in a courtroom. It means intent. Speaking evil of somebody to hurt them, to knowingly wound them and hurt them and make them pay for what they did to you or make them pay for what they said to you. And usually that ends up in suspicion in many things you thought they said they didn't. But they don't know. But with all malice, put that away. Don't knowingly say words that hurt somebody else. It sounds like the simplicity of this, but if that's been part of the old nature for a long time, and then suddenly we're confronted with scriptures like this, there's some adjusting that needs to take place. And it doesn't happen overnight that we get to that place where it's like what the word says. So be patient with yourselves too. Don't give yourselves grace. I have to all the time. For me. Not you. You show grace to you. I show grace to you. And it works. There's just something about the way the Spirit begins to change us on the inside so that now we have new words that we can speak. But malice is, that's the dangerous side, is we do it with intent, knowing that we're going to injure or hurt somebody. So avoid that as much as possible. No matter how upset you get with somebody, don't take it to this level. Deal with it before. Because somebody might respond back and it might not be pretty by the end of the day. And be ye kind one to another. Sometimes that's hard for people, to be kind. We've all been used. We've all been somebody's doormat at least once or twice in our lives. And it's hard to show them kindness because it's based on what they did. Isn't it? And so we react to the way we're treated. We're never told to like what somebody has said or what somebody's done. But as we grow, we come to realize how God looks at us and how God treats us, and that's the pattern. He's kind to us. He's merciful to us. He's gracious to us. And he took all his anger out upon his son instead of us. Go curse at a fence post instead of your neighbor, because the fence post ain't going to shoot back at you. Okay? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Don't let a root of bitterness get down in your heart, because once it does, that is so hard to pull that out, because it's almost like this collateral damage. It affects everything you do. If bitterness through unforgiveness gets down inside of you, it's going to affect everything you do and everything that you say, because it's there and it needs to come out. So learn to be tender-hearted. We all get hurt by people's words, because we are tender-hearted now. And we hurt too. We bleed just like non-believers. We hurt like they do. But now we're learning to respond differently, and it's not easy sometimes. I'll be the first to tell you that. It isn't. But this life that Peter talked about, fail-proof living, this is all part of it. If we can't control our mouths, and if we can't control whether we hurt people and do these things that are in here, it's going to be really hard to grow to the point where we're walking in agape love. That's why that one's last, because it's the hardest to achieve and be consistent. So this whole thing that Peter spoke to us, it's in layers. It's a gradual working of the Spirit in our lives to bring us to maturity and being able to live this way continuously, not just haphazardly on Monday because of what we fed on Sunday. The world hates Monday. Monday's one of my favorite days. It doesn't take much to tick them all off at the post office. You just walk in with a big smile. What are you so happy about? Dude, I'm just getting my mail. Give me a break. Nope. But we have his presence, and we have the Spirit that teaches our flesh to respond more favorably to his leading. Because the Spirit already does. But it's the earth suit that has the problems. And we have to renew our minds and retrain our flesh, because it's always done what it wanted to do. And it doesn't like its new boss sometimes, does it? Nope. Thank you, Peggy. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And then the clincher of that is, this is the measure of forgiveness. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. For God to protect his integrity, we're to forgive as he forgives. And I believe this is past tense. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So it's a reminder to the believers at Ephesus that God has extended a forgiveness to you. It's already been done. It happened at the cross. And now make it a lifestyle. Make it a way of life. Because then you don't have any enemies. And the devil doesn't have any hold on you. It's hard to accuse anybody of something if they've forgiven everyone who's wronged them. It keeps that door closed. So next week, we'll go a little further. We're getting ready to go into knowledge. Physical knowledge. We have an earth suit, a physical body. It's important that we have a natural knowledge. Paul said there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. It's important that we have natural knowledge and revealed knowledge or spiritual knowledge. So we'll be looking at those in the coming Sundays ahead. So we won't get bogged down too much in finding reasons to beat each other up, because the Spirit doesn't do that either. It's about growing. Growing pains. Yes, growing pains. Does anybody need prayer this morning? I asked my beloved sister Jeanette if she would allow us the privilege of praying for her journey. It's tomorrow, isn't it? Yep, she's going to Idaho, as she told us last week, and none of us knows when we'll see her again. So, would you like a lot of your sisters to pray with you too? Come on down.